This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
It's very clear. If you're going to attack Americans, whether for criminal or national security purposes, we are going to hold you accountable, no matter what country you live in.
Fighting for Idaho.
52.5% are not in favor of the bike lane on Capitol Boulevard.
The cyclists don't follow the law. They ride in an unsafe fashion. They don't pay their way.
Fighting for you.
The EPA told Andy Johnson because he didn't get a permit with the Army Corps of Engineers, he violated the Federal Clean Water Act.
I can't even light a match out here and burn a weed. What they've done is they've turned us all into lawbreakers.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Hey, I just love your show.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you the day after the day after. If you're looking for election results, you can go to our website, 580KIDO.com. Just going over some of them right now. You've got Congressman Labrador winning, Senator Risch winning, Congressman Simpson winning, Governor Otter, it appears to be the winner, but let's see, less than 10%, 51.3 versus 43.6 over Senator Fulcher. You're looking at Brad Little, the Lieutenant Governor, winning as well. Lawrence Denny coming out of the four-way race with 37% of the vote, and then it goes on and on. Lawrence Wasden winning. And again, a very close race over Chris Troupas. You've got Sherry Ibarra, looks like, just eking out a victory in the Superintendent of Public Education. And it goes on and on and on. And we're asking you, are you happy with last night's election results? We'll get back to your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us now is a young lady that we tried to have on at one time, but technical difficulties got in the way. And we go now to Joy Brighton, who joins us to talk about Sharia law in America. Her book, Shariaism, is here. Joy, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad we finally connected here.
I know. So let's talk a little bit about a Hollywood landmark that has Jay Leno and Ellen DeGeneres up in arms.
Yes, the Beverly Hills Hotel. The Beverly Hills Hotel is part of a group of hotels that is owned by the Sultan of Brunei, who recently imposed Sharia law on his country. And as we all know, the foundation of Sharia law is that anyone who is not of the faith of Islam should be killed. Anyone who converts away should be killed. Women are the property of men, those kinds of things. Control, control, control. And so when Hollywood got a hold of this, they suddenly were up in arms and they've been protesting the Beverly Hills Hotel, which is, I mean, it's fantastic that finally, you know, Hollywood is waking up to this idea that Sharia law is a big problem around the globe. And, you know, my book, which is Shariaism is Here, is about, yes, it's happening in Brunei, and it's also happening in the United States. And we need to focus on what's happening in the United States, because if we can't say no to Shariaism in the United States, how can we go trotting around the globe trying to help other people?
That's a good point at 580KIDO, Joy. So how in the world can Sharia law be in America?
Crazy. Well, one of the things is, let's just talk about women and abuse of women. And, you know, in this country, one of the things that's happening is that when new immigrants come to this country from anywhere, they often take their cultures and traditions with them. In the case of some of these folks coming from Sudan or Somalia, from Pakistan, these men, okay, are taking the tradition with them of control. And that means that these have been centuries and centuries of, this is a generation and a cult, this is a culture of patriarchal control. These men are used to control and used to abusing their women, and they're bringing, not all of them, many are fleeing Sharia law, but many of these men are coming to this country and imposing the same kind of control on their wives as they did back home. We have women living in Iowa, in Illinois, in California, in New Jersey. In fact, across 47 states, there's reports of forced marriages. And I would say that there's probably, depending on this, there's not a lot of statistics, but it looks like we can safely say there's at least 1,000 a year of young girls or women being sent overseas to their native Somalia, Sudan, Pakistan, marrying a relative that they never met before, an older guy, bringing him home. Now he's an American citizen, and she is now living under the thumb of someone who is, I would say, a control bully, which I'm going to call a Shariaist. So someone who lives by the law of Sharia.
And this is going on in America. Don't we have laws against this?
Well, we have laws against a lot of things. They're not often enforced, are they? You know, one of the problems with this is that it's under the radar screen. And, you know, Americans, or let's just say some Americans, I think the people on your show understand it, really just don't want to take a look at this. They want to say that this is religion. They want to say that this is culture. Even the shelters that these women are fleeing to don't want to talk about the fact that there is a problem specifically with women, with Muslim women, that these are the women who, in very high numbers, are starting to show up in shelters and starting to say that we have real issues of abuse.
And the men aren't prosecuted?
You know, these girls are very, very afraid. As you can imagine, they live under the thumb of someone who believes that they should be controlled, who believes they should control everyone, including their daughters, including their wives. So these women are very, very afraid. There is, you know, there's a few examples of these women ending up in U.S. courts. And I'll give you probably the most famous example, which would happen to a young girl in New Jersey. She was, it was a forced marriage. She came over to New Jersey when she was about 19, I'm going to say, from Morocco. Her husband repeatedly was raping her. And finally, the neighbors called the police. And she ended up taking this guy to court. With the support of lawyers and neighbors and lots of other people, pro bono, who said, this is not our, you are protected in this country. You must take this issue to court. In court, this was a New Jersey court, the husband said, well, I don't understand this. There is no such thing as rape in my country. A woman has to obey her husband, and that's what my wife is doing, and that's what I demand. And the lower court judge let this guy go, did not impose a marital rape charge. He actually walked away from the sentence because the judge said, well, this, he didn't understand the laws of this land, and this was really part of his culture.
Now, tell that to someone who gets a speeding ticket. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
Exactly. And, you know, we have this situation going on in this country where even judges, first of all, they're unaware of really the danger and the brutality of some of these Sharia laws. They don't understand, because it's hard to understand that someone could feel like they're, treat their wife as property, or that they could feel total control, or that they believe that if someone converts away from Islam, they should be killed. It's a different mindset. And so judges aren't educated. They're not willing to believe these things. Fortunately, in this case, some lawyers went to her, appealed it, and on the higher appeals court, it was overturned. And however, he still was not convicted of rape. He was convicted of second-degree something or other, but it wasn't marital rape.
Troy Brighton here with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDR, talking about Sharia law in America. And we're talking about, you know, all over the country where this is being played out. Are you the only person speaking out against this, Joy?
No. I mean, there are, you know, I happen to be a woman on the left. There's very few of us on the left. I think those of, and this really isn't a left or a right issue.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying you're a lib.
I am.
Well, libs are well.
Are you going to throw me off the tent? Are you going to throw me off now?
You know, you're a very compelling lib. And, you know, we're all about tolerance and diversity here with Kevin Miller. So please go ahead.
There we go. Well, you know, it's, if you're going to be a liberal and you're going to say you're a liberal, well, then how come we're not talking about, you know, a situation or a political movement of control called Shariaism, which denies people individual rights? How could you be a liberal woman and not worry about abuse against women in this country? How could you be a liberal woman and not worry about the fact that people in this country, that we have people who have said that they've converted away from Islam, Wafa Sultan, psychiatrist, very educated woman in California, has been living in hiding for the past 8 years because she got a death fatwa from some sheikh over in Qatar. This is how dangerous this is. It's a death fatwa from someone across the other side of the globe. An educated woman in California goes into hiding. This is how dangerous the situation is.
Well, what, if anything, can be done?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, we do have, and we've got a series of laws that are being passed across the country. Florida just passed this law days ago. And this law is called, I call it a liberty law. Because I say, you know, the Sharia is not about liberty. So if you pass anything that is going to stop Shariaism from coming into this country, it's a liberty law. So a liberty law was passed in Florida. And it says that, you may have heard of it, it's about the eighth state now that has passed this law. And it basically says that in a U.S. court of law, if Sharia law is introduced and is somehow introduced as part of the defense, if what is being debated, okay, is contradictory to our U.S. Constitution, then the state constitution overrules, which sounds ridiculous that we need to have a law that says, hey, everybody, the state constitution, that's to be the highest law of the state. But we do need it because we need it because U.S. judges are uninformed. And I will say that not every Sharia law actually is a contradiction. There are Sharia laws about business contracts that are simpatico, I would say, with U.S. contract law. We don't need to worry about that. But when it comes to human rights abuses and individual rights and liberties, there is absolutely nothing compatible with Sharia law and our Constitution.
Joy, if people want more information, what can they do?
Please go to Amazon.com. This book that I wrote is people call a book for the John. They say put it on the back of your toilet. When you go in there, take a look at a few pages. It's
now, wait a minute.
Pictures.
That's maybe what you libs do, but us conservatives, we don't read while we're on the toilet.
What do you guys do?
We do our business and move on.
Okay. Well, this book was designed. It's really a PowerPoint presentation. It's a series of about 65 stories, American news stories in this country that take place between 2008 and 2014. And again, there's a little bit of religion in these stories, and there's a little bit of abuse of power in these stories, and I separated out and I said, okay, here's the religion. Islam is a religion protected under freedom of religion, First Amendment. And then there's something called Shariaism, which is the political movement of control. It's the political movement of radical Islam. And that is all political. It's like communism. It must not be protected. We have to start talking about it. We have to start doing something about it. So it really is just a book of lots and lots and lots of news stories, and I pull the two apart because so many people say, well, that's just one little story, and that's another little story. But when you put all the little stories together, you say, wow, we have a problem of Shariaism here in America.
It's a pattern. So, again, go to Amazon, check out the book. We'd love to have you back, Joy.
I'd love to be back.
All right.
If you'll have a lib back again.
We love the libs.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Kevin.
Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What an outstanding guest. And here she is, a lib, talking about the voices of Sharia law. We will talk more about that coming up. But back to the election night results. Your thoughts, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Are you happy with your choices? And, you know, I appreciate Steve Ackerman joining us. I take a look at money, and it reminds me, this whole primary election reminds me of a football game where sooner or later the bigger team with the more resources takes over. First of all, the people that ran, the people that challenged, the people that won, the people that lost, big props to them for doing it. Sure, you didn't win, but you made our state better. I'll explain to you next. Hey, I don't want to be the Lone Ranger. Where's Tonto? 580-5436. 580-KIDO. I'd like to hear from you next. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
I remember when Raul was running for the House of Representatives the first time, and he came to me and asked me to endorse him, and I jumped on board and I helped out. But if he would have just called and said, hey, Butch, you need to know that I'm going to endorse Russ, but there was no phone call.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Brilliant sound clip by Ray Amaya. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. The feud between Congressman Labrador and the governor, as our exclusive clip of the governor talking about that no notice was given to him from the congressman concerning the congressman's endorsement of Senator Fulcher, will resonate for some time to come. And if the governor, which we expect him to do, unless there is a serious, serious rift in the Republican Party, wins re-election, and I know you're saying, Kevin, it's May 21st. How can you say that? I just don't think that Mr. Baloukoff and his pro-education message is strong enough to derail Governor Otter. That's my own view. We'll see if that plays out. And Mr. Baloukoff, again, continues to duck our repeated requests. He seems like a very nice man. We would love to have him on. Even though we're still going over last night's election results. And it sets up an interesting scenario. Let's say Governor Otter is reelected. Is it Senator Fulcher? Does he try again based on his incredible showing, 42-43%? Or do you see Congressman Labrador making his run for the governorship? A lot of people believe that he will challenge Speaker Boehner or Eric Cantor, and he will continue to work in Washington. Oh, the political drama. But let's go over last night's results here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the Morning. And the big question, are you satisfied? And I know a lot of people are going, you know, it's like your team lost, or maybe your team won. And if that's the way it is, we'd love to hear from people that voted for whoever won last night. I think everybody's a winner when we vote. Many people are concerned and disappointed in the turnout. Let's face it. You go to work, you go to school, you see the slappies. I'm not surprised. Heck, do you really want these people voting? I know I don't. I'm amazed at how many people that have boats and trailers and big trucks that aren't honked off because of the high cost of gasoline. Maybe they've bought the propaganda from folks. I don't. I believe our gas prices should be a buck or two lower per gallon. There's no reason why gas prices are this high. Anyway, let's go over the results last night. Senator Risch, Congressman Labrador, Congressman Simpson winning. And you have to wonder about the future of Mike Simpson. I mean, he outspent Brian Smith, an articulate, diligent candidate, 5-1, 10-1, something like that, and beat him 61% to 38%. Imagine if the odds had been even in any of these races. Really, that's, if you're only outspent 2-1, does Mike Simpson get reelected? And if all his buddies, the Boehner buddies, if they don't jump in, like the American Petroleum Council and everybody else, does Mike Simpson win? And let's face it, a lot of people, including myself, look, we like what Brian Smith had to say, but he had an issue resonating with people on a personal level. Let's go to Pat in Garden City. Pat, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Oh, hi, Kevin. You want to know if we're happy with the way the election turned out?
Yes, ma'am. What say you?
Well, I say I'm mad as hell because I didn't even get to vote.
What do you mean?
I went down, gave my name, and showed ID and everything, and he says, well, that I'm a Democrat. And I thought he was kidding. I said, I'm not a Democrat. And he said, well, that's what it says here in the book. I've been registered as a Republican since I was 18 years old, and I'm 77 now. And I vote in every election. I have never been a Democrat. And there was absolutely nothing I could do about it.
Very frustrating, I imagine.
Well, I've never been so irritated and upset in my life. I'm not over it yet. And I'm not happy the way it turned out, even though my one vote would not have made any difference. And well, I talked to the gal down at the elections office and everything, and the gal down at the voting place, she did everything she could. She called them and talked to them, and they said, nope, there's nothing you can do. So unless I wanted to vote Democrat, and I said, you got to be crazy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to vote them.
But I don't know what to do about that. I want to find out how in the world my name got in there as a Democrat.
Well, I'd call the Secretary of State's office. Time to light them up. Because your vote counts.
Well, I always thought it did, but sometimes I wonder.
Well, Pat,
I just wonder if that happened to anybody else.
And we'll throw it out to everybody else. Pat, thank you for the call. Sorry about your vote.
Thanks.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Down in Twin Falls. And you know what? You can find out more right here on 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller.
580 KIDO. It has been a while since we've talked to Big Ed Beckley. Heidi ho, Big Ed.
Hey, morning.
You're still alive.
Yeah, it's not September 8th.
I'm telling you, I got a little jealous. You're talking to slappy newspapers, jabroni TV stations, and good old Kevin Miller was like a side order of fries.
No, you know better than that. Well, you get to hear the real story, see?
Well, when are you coming back to Idaho? Because, you know, I want to buy you like a lunch or something.
I know. I mean, you know, and I fly in and out of Boise, but usually I'm headed back and forth and got to go. Like the last time I was there, you know, I went in and out of Boise down to Twin Falls and all this stuff. But then Fox called me and said they wanted me in their offices. That was a week ago Thursday. So we immediately hopped on airplanes and started heading that way. So got our deal done. We're really excited about that. We're going to be part of a 2-hour, maybe a 3-hour special. And it's going to be really well done. The guy that is doing this stuff, I'm familiar with. And so he's done a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stunt things. I've worked with him before. So that's going to be producing it. So I'm really excited about that part. I mean, Fox has done their homework. And not only do they have me on this program, they're going to have Eddie Braun doing the Knievel replica with that rocket that they built. It's just exactly like what Knievel used. Hopefully they got a parachute that don't blow out.
Well, when last we heard, the Twin Falls jabronis had hosed you over. Now, what's the details? I mean, you had this big accident. We were worried about you. We're glad you're back.
Yeah.
So a lot of, now you're with Fox Television. Tell us about what are you going to do? What are the latest details on this historic jump?
So the latest deal is that what we did is we went out and rented some land that's right across from where our state land is that we've leased. That, you know, we've already spent over $1 million on that deal. And the state's been wonderful to work with. They really have been. It's been awesome. The people from Idaho Department of Lands have got their act together. You know, it's like I never really thought that you'd have a government entity that actually have, like, customer appreciation, but they seem like they do. Of course, you know, not many days do they have somebody come wall in there and throw $1 million down on them, too, that helps their school system. But
well,
anyway,
we call you Big Money Beckley.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, no money now. But anyway, here's the deal. We went out the city basically found out that they, I mean, like 3 days before we were supposed to sign a contract, they found out that the one of the other landowners that was next to this threw a big wrench in it and told them, you know what, there's a covenant on that land that you have, and you can't do anything like this. And so they didn't know what to do because, you know, several of them's jobs would be on the line because they just traded for that land and then didn't even see that there was a covenant on there. So, you know, I don't even know. Who do you blame on that deal? You know, who do you blame over at the city management people? I mean, it wasn't the commissioners that did it. It wasn't the citizens of Twin Falls or the county of Twin Falls. Anybody like that did it. This fell right on top of the city attorney's office and people like that. I mean, they just flat dropped the ball.
I know, and you were very, very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was just, we went through all the hoops and done all these backflips and made, you know, several trips back and forth, and, you know, and sent people back and forth and came up with this major plan how to do all this and how to, you know, take care of the citizens and all that. And then they just, you know, they had screwed this up to where they couldn't even lease it to us. But they didn't want to tell anybody that. So, you know. But I don't care. I'm telling you, and I don't care. I mean, I'm telling you the truth, or I could be sued for it, right? Well, go ahead. Let's see them sue. I'd love it if they sued.
Well, hopefully they'll sue Big Ed and not
the... They'd be bringing out the real stupid mistakes that they made. But, you know, here's the deal. So I rented some land, and people that are listening, it's Poline and Eastland, which if you don't know the Twin Falls area, it's just basically east of the bridge, the main bridge that comes through town. It's just east of that. So there's a... We'll have people on the north side is where we're going to sell tickets there. And we're selling right up to 10,000 tickets. We have 10,000 people on that side over there, according to our permit with Jerome County. So, and none on the other side because there's just no room for it, first of all. So the good news was we found land, made a deal. Mr. Geisler, the landowner, has been really gracious to work with and stuff like that. And it's county land, so the city couldn't do anything about it. And the county has a deal where if you don't have any more than 500 people, they don't have to have any kind of a permit. So, but we're working with them and with the sheriff's office and with the county commissioners and stuff like that, and they've been just great to work with. You know, here's the whole thing. Idaho's full of I would say 99% of the people in Idaho are great people. You know, it's just like 1% of them aren't, and I think that they were in the government of Twin Falls. You know, I mean, that, but we also had, you know, a couple commissioners that just were great to us, and Rebecca and Greg were amazing. You know, they worked with us the whole time, and they just could not see how any of this could go bad, but it did. So the good news is we got the land, we're jumping. Bad news is that it's 1,000 feet shorter runway than what I had, and it's 900 feet further jump.
Are you crazy?
So instead of being 1,500 feet like it was when Knievel did it over there at that hump, we're just to the east of there, or to the west of that, of the Evil Hump, and we're another 900 feet further, and don't have but 567 feet is what we have.
Are you crazy?
To take off. And
Big Ed, are you crazy?
That means rockets, bigger rockets, Kevin. And get this, I've lost 80 pounds since March 7th.
I've been following you on the Facebook.
80 pounds, dude. Oof. If nobody thinks I'm serious, they better take a break from being crazy, because I'm not crazy. I'm dealing with this, and everything that they've thrown at me, double-barreled, you know, I've met it with a right cross, and mainly a handshake first and a right cross if that's what it took.
Well, Big Ed, we'd love to have you back when we have more time, and we'll go over this some more if that works for you.
Okay, man.
And let's try and negotiate. You know, if I have to meet you at the airport and whatever.
Okay.
All right. Well, God bless, Big Ed. We'll keep...
God bless you, buddy.
Congratulations.
See you, Idaho.
Okay, bye-bye. That's our friend Big Ed. We go to Craig in Boise, who's been very patient at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. I guess as I told your call screener, I didn't catch his name. I'm pretty disappointed last night in the elections because, to begin with, I know Senator Fulton is my senator, very thoughtful, willing to have a conversation, not just tell you what he thinks and that's it. And I think that's the kind of people we need to have engaged in government nowadays. As far as a gentleman earlier called in and said, what will it take to change things? I think at this time in life when everything's so feelings-oriented, I think pain is the only thing that's going to wake people up, because they certainly aren't, in my opinion at least, thinking much. They're just going ahead and checking boxes or playing team politics or whatever. I forget which one it was. It was either Washington or Jefferson who said that the political parties would be the demise of the United States. And for good reason, too, because everybody starts playing teams, like Boise State against Nevada or something like that, regardless of who the players are. They just go for the colors. They go for the big choices and all that stuff. But they're not looking at the details. They're not looking at the individuals. They're not looking at the policy. They're just checking boxes. And I was pretty disappointed, actually.
What do you think this means? From what I hear from our friend Phil Hardy, the governor lost all the four largest counties, but still won.
Well, he probably, with actually the gentleman who did the debates, who said you have the choice between a cowboy, a curmudgeon, a cow, and a normal guy and a biker. I think Butch ran the country vote, and he ran the cowboy vote pretty hard. And that's his constituents. You know, it's almost like it's divided up between people in the rural areas who are looking at the policy, and those people those people in the urban areas and suburban areas around in the capitals and the counties here are looking more at the policies, and those people who out in the rural areas are keeping up their keeping up their traditions or keeping up their loyalty to somebody regardless of what his policies are doing. Maybe everybody out in Rupert County or Rupert go ahead and support, you know, Common Core. I don't know. You know, it's pretty mysterious to me, actually.
Well, what does this mean for the general?
The general?
The general election.
Well, I've changed my – I'm no longer a Republican. I'm an independent because I'm not playing that game anymore. I'm not playing party politics, and I'm not voting for people out of blind faith. I'm looking at the candidate, and I would hope other people would start looking around, because if it takes to the point to where it hurts so bad that people want to change, then things are going to have to get very bad, because things are heading in the wrong direction, in my opinion. You know, and if we don't wake up and start seeing what's going on, there's not going to be much liberty left.
Craig, thank you.
I think the Republicans will win again, and I'm going to vote Republican. I will not vote Democrat because of their current party policies and politics. But, you know, I don't think either one is headed in a very good direction at this point.
Craig,
anyway, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Okay, you too. 580-543-6580-KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here, going over last night's results. How satisfied are you in going back to this thing, going over some of the documentation provided for us by Steve Ackerman, by Phil Hardy? Mike Tracy will be joining us very shortly to go over this. Again, the information I'm getting, four of the major counties lost by Governor Otter, but he still won. And you take a look at money, you take a look at everything else, and I know people that worked very hard. You worked very hard. You still made the process better. And I believe you sent a message. You sent the right message. Hopefully, that will make a difference. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. A lot of people yesterday predicted the governor would win re-elect. We'd love to hear from them as well. Let's get you to work on time and safely.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Incumbent and current governor Butch Otter won. A.J. Belukoff won the Democratic side of the race for governor.
The race for lieutenant governor. Incumbent Brad Little came out on top. He'll run against Democratic candidate Burt Marley in the fall.
For the second congressional seat, incumbent Mike Simpson beat out Brian Smith. He will now face Democrat Richard Stallings in the general election.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by political analyst Mike Tracy. He'll be on with us coming up next hour. But, Mike, why don't you just grab a microphone there real quick. And let's just quickly, just your initial thoughts. And we want to break down the races. We'll take some calls coming up next hour. But what were your initial impressions?
Well, my initial impressions were the status quo kind of won out.
Yeah.
Which is not a surprise. But I also saw some real the group that was probably the most energized out there was the Tea Party, as evidenced by the pretty strong numbers for those races where they challenged the incumbents and the more mainstream candidates. So, you know, we were just talking a little bit about Russ Fulcher. You know, 6-7 months ago, he was an unknown name across the state, was known primarily in the Boise area, and generated 43% of the vote. And that's pretty substantial. And I think that shows that split that's in the party. You know, it's funny, Kevin. I was always considered all my years I worked for Senator Craig and Farm Bureau. I was considered a very conservative man.
Right.
In fact, one of the most conservative I was called one of the most conservative columnists in the state. And somewhere along the line, I got kind of pushed into the rhino category by certain individuals, which I think is really interesting. Anybody who's known me for the last 40 years, but especially the last 25, knows that I'm anything but Republican in name only. I'm a pretty conservative guy, and that's why in November I spent $2,500 of my own money to defeat those bonds in Boise.
You might have to spend more money to defeat the bike lanes now.
Well, I tell you what, I think that a lot more people on the bike lanes did not necessarily let their feelings be known, because they're really a mess downtown.
And we'll get to that with Mike Tracy, and I love Mayor Beter saying, I love them, never mind the will of the people. Let's go to traffic now at 580. And this is from Willie in Napa. We aren't stupid, Miller. We nominated Butch because we think he's done a good job. He's a conservative, accessible, and led the state through the worst economic time in history. Butcher's a good man, K. Millie. Maybe next time. Much more coming up next. Your thoughts on last night's election analysis from Mike Tracy. Keep it here, 580 KIDO. Serving Meridian.